Welcome to Hear Now the News. I'm Jerry Barnage. New York became the center of the COVID universe, first as the pandemic took hold of the state in the early going. New York then became the model for other states to follow as it went from the worst spreading, most cases, hospitalizations, and deaths, to the fewest by the summer. But Governor Cuomo had to enact several measures, including a mask mandate, one of the first states to implement that. Cuomo was roundly praised for his efforts to reduce the spread, or as he has called it, flatten the curve. His daily press conferences, that would stretch for more than 100 consecutive days, became must-see TV, usually aired nationally as well. That led to the governor winning an Emmy Award. But Cuomo has not been without controversy in his handling of the coronavirus. He has been criticized for a policy in late March that would send nursing home patients treated for COVID at hospitals back to their long-term care facilities, even if they still tested positive. The decision was reversed by mid-May, but the damage was done as deaths rose precipitously among the already vulnerable population. Today, I'll talk to Janice Dean, a Fox News weather personality, impacted personally. Her in-laws, who were in New York nursing homes, died of COVID in the spring. Since that time, Dean has been a leading voice in opposition to Cuomo for allowing more than 6,000 recovering patients back to nursing homes, and sadly, many would die. And joining me here on Hear Now the News right now, I'm pleased to have Janice Dean. You know her from Fox News, a weather anchor. Thanks for joining me today, Janice.
Thanks for having me.
So this is not a happy story. This is actually pretty sad what happened. First of all, I want to say I'm sorry for your family's losses.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
No, absolutely. Can you talk a little about what happened to get into this? Your in-laws died earlier this year?
Yes, they both contracted coronavirus in separate elder care facilities. And we were planning to have them in one assisted living residence. His dad, my husband's dad, had a lot of health problems and he had dementia. So to get him into the assisted living residence, to get him in better shape, he had to go to rehab for several weeks. And listen, I have compassion for those who go through this agonizing decision on what to do with their aging parents. And my husband's parents lived in a four-story walk-up in Brooklyn for over 50 years. It was rent controlled. We tried many times to move them into a level apartment so that they had access. They were able to get out and get in, and they just never wanted to go. I don't blame them, being rent controlled. But it got to the point where their health was failing them. They needed care 24/7. We had aides that were going into the apartment, but that wasn't working. My husband had to still go from work in Queens to Brooklyn to get them to the ER. So it was a long, very hard decision to get them to the point where we needed 24-hour care. We found a wonderful assisted living residence on Long Island where we live, very close to us, so we could visit them. And his dad just needed, he had a lot of, minor health issues, but he needed to get into better shape. So his wife was in the assisted living facility in a double room waiting for Mickey, and coronavirus came in, late March. And we were in quarantine here in New York since mid-March, so we weren't able to see them. We were getting updates from their separate elder care facilities on their health. And, we didn't want to move them. We were too afraid. If we moved them somewhere, they might get COVID. We'll keep them there. They're being looked after. We didn't think that there was going to be, an outbreak. We got a call on a Saturday morning in late March about his father not feeling well. And that was on a Saturday morning. And 3 hours later, we got a call saying he was dead. And we had no idea that he was even sick.
Oh, so there was there was no warning at all.
Not at all. And we, eyes and ears in the nursing home were, giving us regular updates. So this was a complete shock, obviously. And I didn't hear about the governor's mandate, Governor Cuomo's mandate to put COVID patients into nursing homes until after he had died. And I remember when I first started seeing the news reports, remembering that before he died, we got a call from his nursing home saying that they were going to move his father to another floor so that they could take incoming patients. So when I started to see those reports, that's when the red flag went up. By that time, he was dead already. His mom was in the assisted living residence. She got COVID there, was transported to the hospital because she wasn't feeling well. We were afraid she was going to get COVID in the hospital, so we were almost against her even going to the hospital, but she was not feeling well. She was diagnosed in the hospital and she died several days later. And her number is not counted by the governor, New York State, because they don't count the people that got COVID in their elder care facilities but died in the hospital.
So she got it and then was transferred to the hospital. And then she
Correct.
Died in the hospital. I see. And your father-in-law got it and got it quick at the nursing home and died there and didn't get to the hospital.
He did not get to the hospital. Yeah. And, you know, the scary thing and the horrible thing and the thing that makes us, you know, it's hard to grieve properly is we weren't able to see them. You know, my husband had to give his mom the information that his father had died over the phone. And they weren't given last rites. We did not have wakes or funerals. We buried them. We were lucky enough to, they had plots and we were able to bury them, but we weren't able to grieve. And just not being able to see them at all was very difficult. You know, my husband's dad was a firefighter. You know, he should have gotten, you know, the services that they provide for firefighters, you know. So still very difficult to comprehend.
So this, they both died late March, early April?
Late March. His father died, I believe, March 29th. His mom died almost 2 weeks later. Yeah, I remember she talked to my husband before Easter and asked him to write her name on some of the Easter gifts to the kids, and she died a few days later.
I've learned over the over these many months I've covered the story. Many have done it a lot more with the nursing home story, but it's been there. It's been out there. And I know you're probably more of an expert on this. You know, you've done many, certainly interviews, and you've been tweeting about it a lot. Why is this, and obviously I know this is a personal loss for you, and you know, and again, you know, we feel terrible about what happened, but why the crusade against Governor Cuomo?
Because no one else seems to be doing it, to be quite honest. In the very beginning, my husband was against me speaking out. I'm the weather person, you know. I am not political at all. I've never taken a political stance on anything. And I find myself in this very uncomfortable position. I forecast the storms. I don't like being part of one. But because I wasn't seeing the questions being asked of the governor about his mandate of putting COVID patients into nursing homes, and when he was doing interviews, if he got the question, there was no follow-up on it. It was sort of like, well, I blame X, Y, and Z for this. You know, this is a political matter. You know, people are blaming me for this, but it's really God, it's Mother Nature, it's the New York Post, it's the president. You know, he never really had a solid answer on why the COVID patients in a nursing home for 46 days. And they never asked him, frankly, about the makeshift hospitals, the Comfort Ship, the Javits Center, and other makeshift hospitals that were put in place and paid by taxpayer dollars that he never used. That, you know, and nursing homes were also raising red flags. We can't take these patients. We don't have enough PPE. So they were raising their voices as well. And because I was not seeing the coverage that I would have expected, that's when I decided I have to be vocal. And I haven't stopped. I will continue to do this until we see some sort of investigation. The governor's already investigated himself and, you know, said he, you know, did nothing wrong, that it was, I believe, the nursing home people who worked there or the visitors that brought COVID. And that was his response. And the fact that we don't have the numbers, we were supposed to get the total number of deaths, including those that died in the hospital after the election. And now we're into January and there are people suing for that information. Why can't we know how many people contracted COVID and died in their nursing home residences and in the hospital? Because that number is probably double what the governor is reporting.
So are you saying that it's a cover-up?
It looks like it. If he was not guilty of something, why would he not release the numbers? Why would he keep saying, oh, we don't have that information yet? I saw a local news reporter last night actually calling up nursing homes and getting information. So saying, could you tell me the amount of people that died in your facility? He wrote it down. And could you tell me the number of people that died getting COVID in your facility but died in the hospital? They would give him the number. The numbers are there. He just will not report them. And if he had them and he wasn't afraid of anything, why wouldn't he report them?
You touched on various excuses, let's say, reasons along the many press conferences, either on the phone or in person, and he did like 100 days worth. And I do recall that he had said, as you pointed out, that it was a Republican conspiracy, that only Republicans or Republican outlets, as you mentioned, the Post, Fox News, which of course you work for. Is there any credence to that at all?
I think if he was a Republican governor, I wouldn't have to do this. I think he would be on every newspaper, on every television show. I wouldn't have to be one of the only advocates trying to get information. I think the media would do it for me.
And by the way, I heard you saying recently that your in-laws were actually registered Democrats.
Absolutely, registered Democrats. And when I go out to these rallies to meet other families that have lost loved ones, we don't ask each other who they voted for. This is not Republican or Democrat. This is trying to find answers as to what happened to our loved ones, why it happened, how many numbers there are, and to try to make sure it never happens again. We're already going into a second wave of COVID. The governor continues his leadership book tour. He was even promoting his book last night. So there are so many reasons why I am very frustrated with this governor and his administration, because he's ruled for many years now, and he is revered by a lot of the press. So it's kind of a tough battle for me, knowing what I'm up against. You know, he certainly has the name, he has the power, but I have the angels on my side.
You said you're going to keep going with this. What are you looking for? Obviously, this is beyond an apology from the governor. What are you looking to ultimately have happen?
I would love an independent bipartisan investigation. A 9/11 style commission would be great. I want to know what happened, why it happened, why did he have that mandate in place for 46 days? There's been excellent journalism done. I just don't think it has gotten the light of day yet. There was an investigation by the Wall Street Journal as to the fact that Governor Cuomo was listening to his hospital executives, his lobbyists were giving him whispers in his ear about what to do with coronavirus patients. So he wasn't listening to the science if he is listening to his the lobbyists for his top hospital donors on what to do with these patients. If in the very beginning he had said, I made a mistake, I was given bad information, we were going on these numbers that didn't come to fruition, I needed to save these hospital beds, I thought the nursing homes had the proper PPE to take care of these patients. Had he said that at the very beginning and instead not blamed everyone else except the person that signed the executive order, we wouldn't be having this conversation. I would have accepted that. And it would have been nice to have gotten a, I'm sorry for your loss.
And that, I'm sure that would have gone a long way at that point.
Right. Yes. Now we're far beyond that. You know, he continues to blame. And, you know, when he was going on his book tour and he got the nursing home question, he at one point was, how dare you ask me that? That's so cruel of you. And then there was one interview he did where he was like, well, we didn't have to put coronavirus patients into nursing homes. So it's very frustrating. As I mentioned, I wish more people would ask him the question. And I wish there were more follow-ups. And I wish he wasn't revered as he is here in New York.
I think that you know the number, the deaths in nursing homes, 6,300, something in that range, 6,500.
That's what they're reporting.
Yeah, and it's going to go up. I don't know if that number is given from the state, but at one point, a few months back now, he was on, I think it was the Today Show, and there have been various, each time they'll talk about where we stand with COVID, whatever restrictions, and then they'll go there, because this is a controversy that's been there. And I believe at the time he was asked this about the nursing homes, and the, whatever the big number was at that point, several thousand, and he said that, first of all, that there have been nursing home deaths in every state, but it's the population of New York obviously is so much more, and it was, New York had it the worst at first. Do you hold anything to that? In fact, you know, because New York has the biggest population, that you were going to see it and obviously was going to be worse anyway for people who were in nursing homes?
Well, he knew at the very beginning. He even said there were articles where he was talking about Matilda's Law and nursing homes, and that if the virus got into the nursing home, it would spread like fire through dry grass. He actually said that. So he knew the risks. The nursing homes also knew the risks. I've talked to many people that run nursing homes, people that work in nursing homes that couldn't believe that this was a mandate, that this was an order. They knew right away that they couldn't handle it. There were nursing care workers that were wearing garbage bags that were cleaning themselves with Clorox bleach. It was terrible. There were bodies piled up. You know, New York Post, were covering this. And his metrics are wrong because he uses those numbers, the 6,300, the 6,500 that are still being reported by Howard Zucker, his health commissioner. Those numbers are wrong. They're wrong. And he continues to use those numbers when he is not adding on those who died in the hospital but got coronavirus in their elder care facilities.
Now, what happened in May, from everything that I've read, and again, I'm not a spokesperson for the governor in any way, what happened in May? They made a reversal of the policy, right? By their own.
They did.
So is that some sort of a mea culpa?
Maybe. I do know that mandate, that order that was issued March 25th that went till May 10th, 46 days, is no longer on the website. They've scrubbed it. You can't find it. Thankfully, the internet is forever and there's screenshots of the executive order. But why is that not on their website anymore? What does that tell you?
So you think that shows that this was a bad policy and it's gone?
I mean, in my opinion, if you no longer see something that was up there for 46 days and was signed by the governor and it's no longer somewhere where you could find it on their their government health website, that might be a problem.
Aside from the various, again, calling it excuses, various reasons for making the original policy in, I guess it was mid to late March, by doing this change in May, and I'm assuming saving hundreds, if not thousands of lives by doing that, isn't that a good thing? Isn't that, I know, not recognizing and still what happened to your family and many, many others, but isn't that at least going in the right direction?
Yeah, but where's the apology? So all of a sudden there's a reversal, but there's no accountability or answers and still blame, finger pointing on everyone. So while they learned from their mistakes, there was no admission of learning from the mistake. You know, the governor was on television at a church recently a couple of days ago, saying, if you're a good leader, you have to own up to your mistakes. And I had to laugh because is he listening to his own advice? You know, if you learn from your mistakes and you reversed a really bad executive order, shouldn't you own up to that and tell people you're sorry about that? He has yet to do that.
I reached out to the governor's office and he had a question for me to pass on. He wanted to know what were the names of the nursing homes that your in-laws were in and when did they die, which I think you sort of pointed that out.
Well, if he wants that information from me, I'm glad to give it to him. If he wants to do his own investigation into, we have chatted with the nursing home and the assisted living residents. I would be curious as to why he would like that information and why now. Why does he want that information now? March 25th, if he would like to see the death certificates, I can certainly give those to him. This is the first time he's actually asked a question of me through another person. I have never heard from the governor. I have never heard from the governor's office ever. My sister-in-law actually said it would have been quite nice if somebody had reached out to our families. I've been very outspoken about this from the very beginning. An apology or perhaps even a conversation would have maybe gone a long way. I think a lot of grieving families would feel the same way. But if Rich has questions like that, I'm sure he can find out my information.
All right. Do you want to say the places and then I can go back, or you want to talk to him directly?
No, he can reach out to me directly.
All right. Because he had said this is important, and if he can get that piece of information. But all right, I don't want to be the in-between here, the go-between.
No, listen, like I said, this is the first time he has ever, acknowledged me or my family.
Okay. I'm sure he knows who you are. Obviously, this has been, you're in New York, you've been tweeting a lot. And this has been I saw July, June. This is probably for, 5-6 months, right? You've been doing this for a while.
Since May.
If you'd like to hear more from this interview, you can become a patron on my Hear Now the News Patreon page for premium content that also helps support the podcast in future episodes. After speaking to Dean, I got back in touch with Cuomo's senior advisor, Rich Asapardi, for a few minutes by phone on this inflammatory issue.
The reality is that nursing homes contain especially vulnerable populations, and every state in this nation has had problems with COVID in nursing homes. In every state, in every study, in every way you look at it, the number one cause of infections has been asymptomatic staffers, and especially early on in this crisis. And New York is no different. What's happened here is that because of the pathetic and bumbling federal response to COVID, Republicans in Washington, Republicans in the states, Republicans in Rupert Murdoch's machine have decided to take this issue and politicize it. This isn't about Andrew Cuomo. It's Andrew Cuomo, and it's Tom Wolf, and it's Phil Murphy, and it's Gavin Newsom. Like, for some reason, those are the governors seem to be targeted for this. And it's no mystery, and it's not a mistake. They wanted to change the subject from Donald Trump and the fact that 250,000 Americans died when they didn't have to.
I do want to ask you, and I spoke to Janice Dean. That was the genesis of this interview and this conversation. She pointed out about this protocol, this policy that was in place late March with nursing homes, long care facilities, long term care facilities, and then it was reversed by May. She also pointed out that the original policy was no longer on the website.
Now, because the policy is not operative anymore. But let me tell you what the law is. The law, which never has changed, is that in order to care for a nursing home to care for someone, you need to have three things: proper staff, proper staffing levels, proper facilities, and proper protective gear. Those are the three, and if you don't have those, you can't take them. The order did nothing to change the law. The order said you can't discriminate against someone. Similar orders were in place during the AIDS crisis, where you couldn't discriminate against someone who was HIV positive. But if you can't treat for that, if you can't treat them by law, you can't take them. And throughout this pandemic, DOH has helped with transfers for people who didn't feel like they had the facilities. We had database of 90,000 volunteers from across the state. That 400 of the 600 nursing homes in this state use to supplement, augment their staffing. We've given them 15 million pieces of protective equipment. That's gloves. That's masks. That's gowns. These are the things New York's done to help. But again, this has become an issue in New York that's been politicized. USA Today had a story this week about how nationally the problems in nursing homes persisted. That's way after May. And that's in New York and every other state. We've also put protocols in place that call for nursing home employees to be tested once a week. You know, we tested nursing home patients across the state. Like, you know, protecting this population in these nursing homes has been one of our top priorities. And we've taken decisive action more so than most other states.
But the fact that there was that change, that reversal, again, the original one, and I understand why it's not there.
It wasn't a reversal. It was an augmented policy because when that order was put into place, we did not, New York nor any state for that matter, had the testing, had the testing capability that we do now. The policy was changed because we had extra capacity for testing. We did not have 2 months before, saying that if you're in the hospital, you have to test negative.
I understand what you're saying. I understand. But was it in any way that original policy, was there a mistake in terms of allowing those COVID patients back to nursing homes?
Again, the law was always the law, which is you have to have separate facilities. You have to have the protective equipment, and you have to have the staff. And we helped nursing homes with all three of them. All that order said was that you could not discriminate against someone from a nursing home solely because they had COVID. Solely is the word in the order that did not alter the law. It did not alter the law at all. You had to care for them.
Mm-hmm. Janice Dean, one of the things she said in the interview we did was, and she's, as you know, she's been out there very vocal against the governor for this policy and what took place and the several thousand patients that have died, especially in those 6 months or so. I'm sorry, 6 weeks or so. She wants to see an independent investigation. Is that something that the governor would welcome?
DOJ has opened up a civil inquiry that we've cooperated with. Congress has held hearings on this, as has the New York State Legislature. What is she talking about?
And on a personal note, again from her, and I'm not trying to be the go-between here, but she feels that an apology, and again, not just for her, but for other families, would have at the time gone a long way.
I think the level that this has been politicized has been ugly. It's been wrong, and luckily, most New Yorkers just don't buy it.
I appreciate a few minutes.
Yes, not a problem.
Thanks for listening. If you have a comment or suggestion, you can find me on Twitter at Jerry Barmash, email hearnowthenewsjb@gmail.com, or my Hear Now the News Facebook page. If you use Apple Podcasts, I hope you can leave a 5-star rating and review in an effort to build the audience. Coming December 7th, we'll turn the clock back 40 years to a seminal moment in pop culture and music history, the assassination of John Lennon. My guest had a front row seat to the gory details that would haunt him for decades. Thanks for being a part of Hear Now the News. I'm Jerry Barmash.